906, joining us now on the line. You read his soccer stuff on sportsnet.ca. John Molinaro, fresh off another Toronto FC victory, 3-0 over the Philadelphia Union. Hey, John, how are you?
Good, guys. How are you tonight?
We're great, John. We were having this spirited discussion when Carolyn Cameron was in studio. Who is your favorite former Toronto FC manager? Because it's a list of who is that guy, and I can't believe that guy was a manager here. Who's your favorite former manager?
Former manager? Probably say Arn Vinter.
Oh, good call.
Although incredibly unsuccessful as a TFC manager. I had a great deal of respect for him, just the way that he conducted himself. The way he sort of got on with the media. He was a real gentleman and didn't talk down to reporters and was just a generally all around great guy. You couldn't help but feel, some sort of affinity for him, just the way he treated everyone. And this was a guy who played soccer at the highest level. I mean, he played for some of the biggest clubs in Europe. He played at the World Cup for Holland. And yet he carried himself with a great deal of grace and humility and really lack of ego. So I'd say of all the former managers, he would probably have been my favorite.
Who is the biggest train wreck?
Oh, God. Well, Preki was
Preki. It always comes back to Preki. It was Preki?
Yeah, I'd say he was pretty bad. I mean, Mo Johnson was pretty bad. Yeah, it's probably between...
What about my man Paul Mariner? How was he?
He was okay. I mean, he was pretty bad, too. I don't think as bad as Preki and Mo Johnson. I don't know how to put my finger on it. He was perhaps not the most shrewd guy and tactically aware guy, but at least he kind of wore his heart on his sleeve, and you could tell that losses kind of hurt him very much. And, I never got that sense with Preki and Mo Johnson. I always got the sense that, oh, well, we lost, big deal. It didn't seem to wound them personally. Do you know what I mean?
Obviously, John, I mean, we can laugh about it now just because of the incredible turnaround of the franchise and where they are, currently leading MLS, the best team in Major League Soccer. A lot of discussion whether they are the greatest team in the history of MLS. And obviously, it's not a league that's been around for a long time. And the level of play has really excelled over the last, 5-10 years or so with, players coming overseas and sort of just the level of talent that is now playing in Major League Soccer. I mean, you've been there since the beginning with Toronto FC. I mean, what kind of just goes through your mind considering, the guys we were just talking about and where this franchise was at one point to where it is now, where, it's at the heights. And, I know you love getting on Twitter and talking about the Blue Jays and Toronto FC, but it does feel like that groundswell and that buzz, especially coming off last year's MLS Cup final, is really starting to take over. I mean, people are really buying in with Toronto FC here.
Yeah, I mean, to answer the first part of your question about, the metamorphosis of this franchise, it's pretty amazing. I mean, you think back to, 2012, where under Arn Vinter, they lost their first 9 games of the season, and they were essentially out of the playoff race by May. That was probably one of the lowest points, if not the lowest point of the franchise. That was just 5 short years ago, which is not a long time in pro sports, as I'm sure you would agree. And yet here they are now 5 years later, and this is very much the model franchise in Major League Soccer. We're talking about a team who is on the cusp of breaking the single-season record in Major League Soccer. And, you got to give full credit to people like Tim Bezbatchenko, the general manager, who's been the chief architect of this turnaround. The fact that he's been able to lure players the caliber of Michael Bradley and Sebastian Giovinco over to MLS and in the prime of their careers, not sort of like David Beckham or Thierry Henry before them, who were stars and they still had, they weren't exactly over the hill, but it was clear they were sort of in the final years of their waning careers. He's been able to get guys still in the prime of their careers to come over to MLS. And I think that's been the difference. This is, as I said, compared to where this team was 5 years ago, it's night and day. Whereas it once was the laughingstock of Major League Soccer, it has now very much seen Toronto FC as sort of the model franchise and what everyone else in the league aspires to be.
John Molinaro of Sportsnet.ca joining us here on Sportsnet Tonight along the Sportsnet Radio Network. I'm George Russick alongside Rob Wong. You talk about how Tim Bezbatchenko's here, and Tim Leiwicki was the guy who hired Tim Bezbatchenko. Tim Leiwicki's the guy who decided to put all those plans in place to turn BMO Field in what it is today, an incredible soccer stadium in downtown Toronto. Do we forget how instrumental Tim Leiwicki was in where Toronto FC is today?
I think a little bit. I think it's a little lost because, well, a couple of factors. One, he wasn't really here at MLSE all that long. But I can't speak to, the kind of effect he had on the Leafs and Raptors, because that's just something I don't really know that much about. But in terms of TFC, even though he had a short stay at MLSE, his impact was pretty huge. I mean, he was the one who said, go out and get Jermaine Defoe, go out and get Sebastian Giovinco. He was the one to go out and Michael Bradley. And he was really the first head of MLSE who wanted or saw the sort of the potential of Toronto FC and said to, everyone underneath him, this has to be treated on par as a major property with the Leafs and the Raptors. He was really the first one to sort of give them that respect. And I think that was, a lot of the difference. And he's been, as I said, even though he wasn't here a long time, I think he was a key guy behind the team's renaissance. I think the other factor is a lot of fans, whether right or wrong, they blame him for, the Argos moving into the BMO Field. And that's sort of a hot button topic amongst TFC supporters, because they just wanted BMO Field strictly for TFC. Right. And he's sort of been associated with that and ushering, the Argos moving in. So I think those two reasons combined are maybe some of the reasons why he doesn't necessarily get the credit he deserves, which is a shame, because much like Bezbachenko, I think he was one of, the chief architects and really one of the major reasons behind, the team's incredible turnaround.
John, staying in the same vein of maybe giving credit where credit is due, do you think MLSE is making a ton of money off Toronto FC for the amount of money they're paying their players?
No. No, they lost money last year. And I remember speaking to Bill Manning, the Toronto FC club president, and he was saying, look, we're still in the red, and this is going to be a couple years away until we're turning a profit. So, and there's no doubt that, the expansion of BMO Field and, the routine sellout certainly helps, but, they're paying a lot of in salaries, right? We're talking about $18, $19 million, whatever it is. There's not a great deal of profit sort of margin, in these ventures. So, they're not exactly, they're not making money on this just yet. It's going to take some time before they sort of get in the black, but they're pretty hopeful that they can do that, because the team is doing so well, and they foresee them being, successful on the pitch for many years to come.
John, CFC obviously in a great spot to win the Supporters' Shield, 7 points clear of New York City FC right now in the Eastern Conference, but three big games coming up the rest of the year against the Montreal Impact, who still have a lot to play for, hanging on to a playoff spot right now in the East. And obviously people, want to see the level of play that we saw last year in the conference finals in those two amazing legs, at BMO and obviously in Montreal. I guess, what are you expecting in these final three matchups and sort of just the schedule the rest of the way for TFC? I mean, how does it kind of shape up for them in their quest to finish first in the MLS?
Well, it's a pretty, I don't want to say easy schedule, but, it's not exactly tough. They're playing, obviously, all teams below them, and in many cases, it's teams who aren't even a playoff position. Montreal always plays them tough. This is by far, the best rivalry in Major League Soccer. And even, Montreal has, well off the pace of TFC. As I said, they always manage to play the Reds very tough. And, Montreal is very much fighting for their playoff lives right now. They're sitting in sixth place and hold their final playoff berth in the Eastern Conference. So these are big games for them as well. If they can take, 4 or 5 points from these three games, then that's massive. And in doing so, it would also hurt TFC's, quest to set the record for most points in the season. And don't think that's not on Montreal's mind. They'd love to do that, too. So these are going to be big games. I mean, they're always intense games. They're always games where, emotions are really running high, that any little sort of tackle that is mistimed is going to set off tempers. So, but it's also a rivalry that has produced some great soccer. I mean, there's been some great moments and some fantastic entertainment. And I look back at that playoff series last year, it's widely held or regarded as the best playoff, two-game series in the history of the league. So I suspect it's going to be, emotional and contentious, but it's also going to produce some entertainment on the field as well.
John, we all know now for this Toronto FC side, it's win the MLS Cup or bust. I don't think everyone's on board that anything short of winning the championship this year would be a disappointment for Toronto. And looking ahead at the playoffs, because it's a foregone conclusion that they're going to be the number one seed in the Eastern Conference, mm-hmm. What are some potential landmines for them in the playoffs that you're kind of like, I kind of would not want to see TFC play them just in case?
In terms of teams, you mean?
Yes. Or? Yeah, in terms of teams, what are some potential landmine matchups for Toronto FC in the playoffs? Are there any?
If I'm being completely honest, I don't think there are any. I think, this team is, playing so well right now that they're such the class of Major League Soccer that, over a two-game series, I can't see anyone beating them. If it was, if we're talking about a one-game sort of playoff, then you could kind of say, well, look, it's one game and anything can happen. You could have a bad night. But, they're going to have a first-round bye, which means, the Eastern Conference, the second round is, and they're on in, it's a two-round leg. I can't see them losing to any team in the Eastern Conference over two legs. As I said, maybe one game where they have an off night, but over two legs, just can't see it. I really can't see it.
John Molinaro covers Toronto FC for Sportsnet.ca. John, thanks for jumping on tonight.
No problem, guys. Have a good night.